episode 580 of Fly Away. Over the past few years, we've been reminded time and again how much the world relies on travel. From supporting local economies to learning about new cultures, the experience that travel provides helps to make our world smaller and bring us closer together. Here at Outlander Travel, we've been proud to be a small part of bringing that to you through our weekly podcast. My name is Sandy, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Lindsay, Donna, and Anna. Tokyo Disney Resort is comprised of two unique parks, Tokyo Disney Sea, the only Disney park themed to myths and legends of the sea, and Tokyo Disneyland, the kingdom of dreams and magic. Recently, Lindsay had the opportunity to experience that magic firsthand, and she is here to share a little bit about what makes these parks so special and why you should consider adding them to your bucket list. So let's get started. This is so awesome.
I was so excited for this trip.
Okay. So awesome. Just like the logistical details first. How many nights did you stay there?
Five.
Do you think that was enough?
No.
Do you think? Okay, let me rephrase that. Do you think it was enough for a normal person?
Yes.
Okay. That was my question. Lindsay is not normal people. So.
So if you're thinking of like we all know the Magic Kingdom is much bigger than like Disneyland in California. So what's the, what's the like size footprint of the resort, would you say?
Okay. So it is quite large. I should have looked up logistics on this. I'm very sorry I didn't.
I don't need to get nitty gritty.
But I will say the Disneyland, both of these parks feel like they're quite large. They're quite spread out, and the walkways and the areas are much larger. And so even when it's busy, it doesn't feel as busy as it is, if that makes sense.
Interesting.
This is much larger. I think there is a much larger footprint for both of these parks than there is in, let's say, Disneyland or Disney World.
Right.
But it's by design, I think, that these big open areas and the big giant walkways, and there's benches everywhere for people to sit down, and it's just, it's like a Disney utopia. I'm going to squirrel here, so let's do logistics first. But yeah, so yes, it is bigger.
Okay, so I see you listed six hotels.
There are six official hotels, which I will tell you, after extensive research, I decided not to stay at any of the official hotels. I stayed at one of their affiliate hotels.
Like a good neighbor hotel.
Yes, I did that for two reasons. One, the big one was cost. And the second reason was the hotels I wanted to stay at, in the packages, you can only spend one night. And that gives you one day in each of the parks. And that wasn't going to be enough for me. I didn't feel like moving resorts. So that's the thing. You'd have to move, because a lot of people will do back to back, but they'll book one night here and then one night here, and then they move your luggage for you and they make it all seamless. But I still didn't want to do that. I just wanted to be in the same.
Why do they do it like that? That's so strange.
Because they're giving everyone a chance to stay there.
Oh. Wow.
Because they're so considerate. It's the packages are one night and then 2 days, and how we buy our tickets is completely different. You buy it one day ticket at a time.
Oh.
One day at a time. And I kind of think I like that. There's no park hopper. They do have an evening ticket option, but I didn't really explore that, so I can't really tell you much about that. But I did the day tickets. And I do think if you're looking at doing this and you're not a Disney fan, I do think you still need, if you want to do the shows and you want to see the shows, you need 2 days at each of these parks.
So what do you, but do if you don't care it, about like the shows, through, like, are you buying it through the app like that morning? Or
no, so you buy in advance, and um, I I bought online. Now you can buy through secondary places like Klook, which I didn't do that. And I wouldn't advise that to anybody. You can save a little bit of money, but I bought directly from the Tokyo Disney Resort website. And that's how I would recommend doing it for two reasons. One, you're going to get familiarized with that website and then you've got to get the app and you've got to download the app. But then two, you log in there and you can log in with your Disney account.
Okay, so it doesn't work off your Disney account, but you log in with that, and then once it saves
your credit card information, it makes it a little easier to purchase, and this is going to come into play later. So now you've got your tickets. Now you have to make reservations. Because they're still doing reservations. So you make the reservations. Now you get your tickets, your reservations, you got your place to stay, and you get there. Now, when do we get to a Disney park? Park opens at 9 or 10, let's say the park opens at 10, what time do we get to a Disney park?
8:30.
You want to be there before then.
I've heard this about, yeah.
Okay. So back it up a little bit logistically. When do you want to go to these amazing parks? Well, you don't want to go on a weekend. You don't want to go on a holiday. You don't want to go on any of the Japanese public holidays or their school holidays, which basically leaves, I think, like 3 days. I'm exaggerating, but I'm not exaggerating. You don't want to go when it's too hot. This is a very extensive process. For me, logistically, I didn't get to choose when I went. I was going before another trip, so I had to go in the fall. It ended up being okay. I did not. I still had a wonderful time, but I did have a little bit of anxiety about, oh my gosh, how busy are these parks going to be? And they were busy. And what I mean by that is you're showing up in the morning, and people will bring their mats. They have these like flat mats that you could actually buy in the park. They're so cute. Different designs and stuff. And their sunshade umbrellas, which are adorable. And they're all decked out head to toe in their cosplay. And they have their stuffed animals and their bag of stuffed animals. And then their park bag. And then their stuffed animal on a lanyard. And it's a whole thing. And they're lined up at like 3 hours before the park opens.
Wow.
To get in.
So, but you have a park reservation, right?
Yeah, you have a park reservation. Yep. So don't everybody else.
Everybody else. So let's start with Tokyo Disney Sea, because this is the most unique park, right? From what I've heard.
Yes, it is.
And you have to show up super early, right?
Yeah.
What if you show up at like 11 a.m.? Does it just mean that it's going to be crowded and hard to get
done? I can tell you exactly what's going to happen, because that happened to my friend who I was there with. Okay. I had a friend that moved to Tokyo. Well, she moved to Okinawa. Her husband is a Navy fighter pilot, and they moved to Okinawa not too long before this trip. And so she came and met me, and we did Disney together. A couple of the days, she's not an early morning riser, and she's not a Disney person. She used to be a Disney cast member, but she's not a Disney person. So this prefaces, wonderful person. But she's like, I don't know why we'd need to be there before the park opens. So there was a morning, the second morning, where I went into the parks, and she was still sleeping. And she came in, I think it was just an hour after I got into the park, she came in. And she couldn't get any, because they have premier passes, which you pay for. They have a 40th anniversary pass right now that's kind of special. That's a free pass that you can request. And then they have a standby pass for the shows, and that's free. But the premier passes you have to pay for. And those are like 1500 yen or 2000 yen, depending on the time of day and what it is that you're requesting. And so, like 1500 yen is like $9, $10, and then the 2000 is like 12 or 13.
So, would you say these are similar to like the individual lightning lanes that you?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're very similar to that. The only difference is they go sorry, Lily Bells. They go so fast. So you really, you want to be there early, because the earlier you're there, the earlier you get through security, the earlier you get into the park, and you can't request anything until after your ticket's scanned and you are in that park. And you don't know. Yes, this is where the logistics come in, because you don't know if all of your ducks are in a row until you get up there. I had two cell phones. I was very fortunate. My friend had her one phone, and American credit cards are kind of not it's hit or miss whether or not they're going to work with the app correctly. This is why I purchased my tickets in advance from the website, because I wanted to make sure I had a card loaded in there and had used it once, and it kind of knew the card bank knew the transaction. And I don't really know that. I'm just speculating. I think that that helps. But what happened every single time I requested a Premier Pass to buy a Premier Pass, I had to do credit card verification. Every single time. Now you're thinking you're doing it about 6-7 times a day.
Oh god. So they don't have like one pass you can buy for the day like they do like in Florida. You have to buy
No, you buy each ride. They're like individual Premier passes. So you get in, and the very first thing you want to request before you do the paid one, you want to request the two free ones. You want to request the show in standby, and you want to request the 40th anniversary one. Now the show standby is that whole system's a little bit different, and their shows are phenomenal. They're like Broadway level shows. There are shows that I would go back tomorrow in a heartbeat just to see the shows and eat the food. That's how good they are. There was one show I couldn't get into. I tried every single day and couldn't get into, because how they do the show requests, you can't just line up and stand and wait to get into a show, because there's only so many seats, and you have to do the standby pass request. And so there might be 10 time slots, but you get one chance. So you can request one time per show. And so let's say I get in at like 10 a.m. or 9 a.m. And I want to request, my strategy was to try and request one of the last shows of the day. And that didn't work for me. So I don't know if there's some other way to do this. But you only get one chance. So even though there are 10 time slots, you have to pick one. You got to guess which one might have availability and request it. And then if you don't get it, because the Japanese culture is very different than American culture. It's you get what you get, you don't get upset, and everybody is happy about it. Nobody's complaining in these parks. There's no,
let's say you don't want to pay for a Premier Pass. So what are we talking about in terms of like standing in line?
Oh my gosh, 180 minutes. 90 to 180 minutes, upwards of 280 minutes for character meet and greet. That's quite a bit different, because the popular characters in the U.S. here are not the most popular characters in the park in Tokyo. The stars of the show are Duffy and Friends, specifically the cute little fox that I'm in love with named Lena Bell. who has a meet and greet line that's like 280 minutes long at the beginning of the day. And it just stays that way until they close it. And logistically speaking, they close these lines. Let's say there's a two hour line for Frozen. The park closes at 8 or closes at 9 p.m. That means that at 7, you can't get in line anymore, because all of the cast members use public transportation. So they have to be able to leave when the park closes. So all the kiosks are going to shut down. The food's going to shut down. Everything starts to shut down about an hour, 2 hours before the park closes. So it kind of feels like,
wow.
Yeah. Okay. So that's another reason why you want to be there super early, because all of those minutes of the day really do count, and it can affect your whole flow of your day. Like the day that my friend got there, she was just a half an hour after the park opened, and she couldn't get any of the passes. She was able to buy one pass, and so I rode like everything, and she rode like one thing. It was not a good thing. So you want to be there early. You want to bring something.
So what you're saying is you definitely, to do these parks, it's, you highly recommend doing the passes that to
yes.
do it.
Yeah. And you, if you do stay on property and like when I go take my niece and my sister and my brother-in-law are not, they're not really like early morning people and they're not big fans of waiting in line forever for things. So when I take my family, I think I'm probably going to have to do one of the packages where you stay at one of the, like probably we'll stay at the Fantasy Springs Resort and we'll do one night there and with the unlimited package, which is very expensive, but then you can, then you just show up with a pass and you can get in those lines and get on those rides as many times as you want.
Really?
Yeah. It's like $1,500.
For like the room?
Crazy.
Not,
yeah, well,
person,
one,
right?
One night in a room and then the unlimited pass and one day in each park would have been, for me, it would have been $1,500 just myself. So I didn't do it, but I will be doing that when I take my family because I know that they won't.
Yeah.
My sister will have absolutely none of the lines. I was able to avoid the lines by doing the premier passes and by stacking them with the 40th pass, but that's only because I had known the strategy to use to do it. And I knew which of the rides were going to be the hardest to get on and where to go in the park to. This is a very strategy. Remember all the times you'd have strategized for Disney and like this.
So not a vacation.
This is no, yeah. No.
Okay.
So, but yes, the Tokyo Sea is the most different of
yeah. Let's talk about that a little bit because I want to know what's the must do's. Like what's the coolest stuff there?
So the biggest must do is Anna and Elsa's Frozen Journey.
Okay.
One of the biggest, I should say. So back in Fantasy Springs, the Fantasy Springs area, you have Anna and Elsa's Frozen Journey. You've got Rapunzel's Lantern Adventure, which was one of my a lantern.
So it's not just a bathroom.
No, it's not. It's a ride. It's a boat ride, and it's so beautiful.
I love that.
I was like
Rapunzel.
Singing and crying.
I do too, and it makes me gorgeous. So sad that all did. You know, it's just a bathroom.
And then
well,
it's
also like a search thing too.
Anyway, that sounds cool.
Peter Pan's never look at Sandy fighting for the bathroom. Peter Pan's Neverland Adventure, which is a high tech version of Peter Pan. They do have Peter Pan over at Tokyo Disneyland, but this is a completely different Peter Pan ride, and I think it is my favorite Peter Pan ride.
okay,
we're talking big giant screens. Oh, and I should say this. I'm skipping right over this, but one of the reasons why there's so much love for these parks is the technology. I mean, you're not going to find like fuzz on the screens or those dead pixels or like everything is kept up to date.
A distorted Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. No curved Eiffel Tower. No heavy pixelated, no paint chipped Pooh or Tigger. We're talking like
pristine.
Everything's pristine, and then the animatronics are so well done. Their movements are so fluid; it just feels unreal. It's like,
wow!
And when you're coming from having, I can't even tell you how many times I've ridden those rides here in the U.S. Yeah. And to go and see this for the first time was such a mind. But my mouth was open; my jaw was on the floor the whole time I was in this park. So Peter Pan's ride was amazing. Sinbad's storybook voyage, which is not a Disney product, but it does fit really well in the Tokyo Disney Sea park, as it's over in that area where Jasmine's Flying Carpets. Go Jasmine. The theater are. So Journey to the Center of the Earth is another one that's a big huge ride that's inside the volcano there, and it has one of the largest animatronics. I think the largest animatronic in the world. This is the giant millipede or centipede or whatever it is. And then Raging Spirits, I think, are kind of the unique rides. But all of the rides, I think, felt everything I did there felt very different compared to the stuff in the U.S. I think the only thing that was about the same was in the other park. But this is all the land, all the areas are very well themed. You feel like you are in Venice. I mean, you can take a gondola ride through the canals there. You're walking, it's like you're walking into this European village. And then there's a fortress with a Leonardo da Vinci type scavenger hunt area. And the theming for the Soren building is like this... So, I'm so sorry, she's so loud. Leonardo da Vinci themed area. It's so beautiful, so visually appealing that you could just walk around this park, and this is the park I would go hang out at.
It's very different because I'm hearing a lot of like non-Disney stuff. Like,
yeah,
you keep talking, mentioning things, and I'm like, that's not Disney. Is that Disney?
No. No, well, it's not, I don't think it's officially a Disney park. I think it's a Disney licensed. I think they have Disney licensing. But the only really,
that's cool though.
The only real, I think the two attractions there that are not Disney are and when I say the Da Vinci thing is, it's an experience. You walk around and you solve clues and you find things, but I couldn't do it because I can't read Japanese. So I can't tell you exactly what it was.
That's a bummer.
I know, right? But right. Yeah, so the queues close before the parks, the carts, and the I'm trying to think of what else. Oh, you don't save. So you know how, have you ever been in line at Disney and like someone and 25 of their family members like go, excuse me, and they get in front of you because they're going to, they don't do that here. Mm-hmm. That's a big social faux pas. Everybody gets together and then they get in line.
Love it.
Respect
them. So it should be.
So mm-hmm. I want to jump over to Disneyland Tokyo just so we can cover that too. So tell me what's different about Disneyland Tokyo that's unique to...
So the Enchanted Tale of Beauty and the Beast is probably one of the best theme park rides I've ever been on.
Wow.
They're using some magic in that. I don't want to give away anything, but there's definitely some magic in that ride. Pooh's Honey Hunt 2 is so well done. It's the best Pooh ride in the world. Now that I've been to all of them, I can say that. It's the best one. It's different, and it's very... and the Happy Ride with Baymax. There are people... This ride has such a... It's like the alien ride in Toy Story Land, Mater. You know that ride technology.
Mater.
That's the ride technology, but it's just themed like Baymax. And you think this is such a simple ride? Why is this line so long? Why does this have a cult following? It's the music. They sell the soundtrack. You can get the music on Spotify. But the happy song, and there are people who know that there's a dance. They know the dance, and they will come to the parks just to do the dance around the ride. They will spend all day there doing the dance and cheering people on while they're on the ride, singing the song. And Monsters Inc. Ride and Seek is different. That's a great ride. But I want to talk a little bit before you cut me off about about what's different, the culture. That's different here.
Yeah. Okay.
Disney fandom, fan culture in Japan is just different. It is just people eat, sleep, and breathe and love these characters. And you really feel that enchantment, that level of awe where everything is amazing. And it reminds me of the Disney feel, the magic feeling I used to get years ago going to Disney is very much alive in these parks. You're not just, they're not just, I wish I'm doing a terrible job of, so sorry, of explaining this. But the kawaii culture, the character love, the cosplay is everywhere. They're not just happy being in Tokyo Disney. It's like people are enchanted by it. If that makes any sense. And it makes it, it's, it's, it's infectious, it's contagious. So it's hard to be there and not really celebrate that love that everybody has for these characters. So people will show up, like I saw people who were wearing white face paint, like Marie. Like she was dressed like Marie. Wow. And then she had the kawaii, the really cute dress outfit on with the tail and the ears. And these extensive, I have so many pictures that people were very kind and let us take pictures because their outfits were so much time and effort. A lot of costumes that people can't, there's no way. I mean, I saw, I don't know how many different Ariel brides.
Wow.
Ariel the bride in the big dress with the hoop, big princess dress with the hoop. And there's a walkthrough castle experience at Tokyo Disneyland that you can go in and you can get, try on the glass slipper and stand by all the windows. And there's all these little scenes for pictures. And that's a huge thing. There are everywhere you look, there's somebody getting their picture taken in a scene with the dresses on.
Question though, do they let them walk around the park yes. in those big dresses?
Yes.
Because that's a no-no here. That's a no-no
Asian
here.
Culture.
Yeah. Okay. So they let them walk around the park. I did see signs outside of Tokyo, outside of the parks that said around Halloween time they were going to limit the costumes. Okay. For some reason, but we were there the time that my friend and I were there. It was a free for all. Everybody could wear everything. And they show up very early and mark out spots for the parade and put the blankets down and kind of have the setup. And that's another big difference I should mention. Everybody sits down for the parades and the fireworks. And I love it. It's going to be so hard for me to go back to where I can't see anything because the 7-foot tall guy has all of his kids on his shoulders. but everyone sits down. So, and when you buy the premiere pass for the firework viewing, which I did because I did not want to stand, in being in a new park and not knowing where the good place to stand to watch the shows are, I was like, no, I'm just buying the premiere pass. And I'm so glad I did because they have a little spot with a number on the ground and they take you, there's ushers, they take you with a little flashlight and they show you where you're sitting and you sit crisscross applesauce on the ground and you watch the shows and it's very wonderful.
So there's no children on shoulders blocking everybody's view.
No, no children on shoulders blocking everybody's view. Everybody's
I like that.
And they'll tell people, like, if they stick their phone up too high, they'll please put down, you know, please
I
put
love the politeness screen. Because I've been to other overseas Disney parks where it was the opposite. It was not polite. It was like people shoving their children in front of you at the parade and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, I have two questions before we wrap it all up. So, and I'll give it to you in just like up front, and then you can tell me your two answers. Favorite food and favorite souvenir?
Oh my gosh. Okay, so my favorite food has to be, there's these... Okay, the popcorn. I didn't even talk about the popcorn. Okay, it's got to be the popcorn because it's so unique and different. They had garlic shrimp popcorn, black pepper popcorn, strawberries and cream popcorn, and the lines are like right away, first thing in the morning, people are lined up. And they also have these gambling games. So gambling is very big in Japanese culture, and I didn't know that before. My friend and I saw these lines, and we're like, what is this line for? Is this a character meet and greet? Is this special merchandise? Because we saw people coming out with these giant Mickey ghost-shaped pillows. We're like, what's going on in there? And it's like this, it's kind of like a skee ball game, but the board moves. So when you put the ball down and everyone gets a prize, everyone gets a pin for a consolation prize if they don't make it. But if they get it in, they get to choose a pillow. And people will literally stand in line for hours to play these games at the park because it costs like $5 or $7 to play. And then you could win this pillow or I did not play because I didn't want to spend time in line. But anyway, wow. I squirreled on you. Sorry. So popcorn has to be my favorite snack by default just because it's so unique.
Okay.
And the popcorn buckets are so cute. They're like the cutest popcorn buckets ever made. And then my favorite, what was the other you asked me? Favorite souvenir. I bought a Lena Bell stuffed animal that I love. I love that darn fox. She's so cute. So
I love that it's something you can't get, you know.
No,
you, have to
you
get
can't
it there.
Get any of that stuff yeah. here. But yeah, I think that's got to be it. Although pens, like, my gosh, I've never seen such an extensive stationery section, and my little heart was about to explode because I wanted like all the pens. But yeah, I think that was
your favorite.
My favorite was the Lena Bell merchandise. Okay. I came home with way too much of it. Way too much of it. And popcorn buckets.
Yeah. I'm surprised that there wasn't like dumplings or something that like, you know, sushi.
There are alien mochis filled with ice cream. It's a little set of three, and you can get a souvenir. Everything is all about the souvenir packaging. So I came home with, I bought a lot of food and ate a lot of snacks just so I could buy this souvenir thing, because they sell nice. The food and then that you get it. So I got this zipper pouch that's themed like Peter Pan, and it's for your wet wipes, and it's got a little snap thing that you can pull your wet wipes out through the top of. It's really cute. But I had to eat a sundae to get that. And then you know, I had to.
Had to eat a sundae.
I had to. So the mochi balls, and then there's a Mike Wazowski melon bread bun that was really good. The food that was probably my favorite park food for all Disney parks was in Tokyo Disneyland.
Okay.
I think they had the best food selection.
I like some good fun snacks.
Yeah, and the souvenirs are so unique. And I before you come here, okay. So how much do you think Mickey ears cost? How much do you think?
Well, they're like $35 here. So
$11. $11.
Are they good? Are they like?
Oh, they're
nice?
Adorable. They're like the ear bands with the blue. I bought, and I have a Lena Bell. I have Lena Bell ears now, which I'm gonna wear to Disney World. No one's gonna know what the heck. I'm like, why is this lady got pointy? They're gonna think it's a cat.
Cute.
But that, yeah, they're adorable. Like $11. I could not believe how cheap the souvenir. Now they don't have like. We have a lot of wide variety of souvenirs here in the U.S. that they just don't have that kind of stuff there. What's big there are like the keychain, the animals for your animals for your bag or for keychains. Those are huge. I bought a bunch of those when I was there. The little mini Mickey stuffed animals and different outfits and Chippendale and different outfits and things like that. That's massive there. Not a lot of clothing. There was one store with clothing in Tokyo.
Well, if people are making their own outfits, you know.
Yeah. And it wasn't, I didn't really find any clothing there that I, like the quality wasn't like what I would have wanted to try and haul back home. But yeah, a lot of the biggest stuffed animal or the biggest things to bring home there are stuffed animals. And then gift giving is such a big part of Japanese culture that people won't go anywhere unless they're bringing gifts for everybody. So there are entire stores at the end full of these. You can buy a collector's tin, which I got a collector's tin that's got Tangled and it's got the Flynn Rider and Rapunzel in the boat with the lanterns all over the front. It's really cute. But when I opened it up thinking there was just going to be cookies everywhere, they were individually packaged gift. So there were like a packet with like multiple cookies in it that was already gift packaged to give. And then there were little loose cookies so you could try some and then you can give for gifts. But there was a lot of things like that. And you can buy ramen. You can buy ramen flavoring with the Disney characters on it, on the packaging. And curry. Japanese curry was one of the other unique things I saw. That there's tons. The souvenirs are very unique and very practical. Disney character nail clippers. Very practical gifts, I think. Very practical things. A lot of houseware stuff.
Cool.
Nice.
All right. Awesome. All right, I'm cutting you off now.
Are you so sorry?
I know we could talk a lot about this, and I can't wait till we do one on the Chinese parks too. Yes. All right, so that is our show for this week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Please like our Facebook page, rate us, and be sure to tell your friends about us. You can find our previous episodes on the podcast page of OutlanderTravel.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Donna, Anna, Lindsay, and myself, Sandy, thank you for joining us this week. Gotta fly.